Going to look at a fascinating story in the Gospel of Luke about a woman whose life was changed forever by the touch of Jesus. Luke, beginning chapter 13, beginning of verse 10. Would you stand to honor God's word? And let's read this. It says, on a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue ruler said to the people, "There are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath." The Lord answered him, "You hypocrites! Doesn't each one of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her?" When he said this, all of his opponents were humiliated, but the people were delighted with the wonderful things he was doing. Then Jesus asked, "What is the kingdom of God like? What shall I compare it to? It's like a mustard seed which a man took and planted in his garden. It grew and became a tree, and the birds of the air perched in its branches." Again he asked, "What shall I compare the kingdom of God to? It is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour until it worked all the way through the dough." Lord, thank you for your word, and we pray today you'll speak to us through your word, and we want to open up our hearts and minds to receive your message today for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So every Sabbath, the Jewish people in a community would gather together in a place called the synagogue. That's where these people are gathered on this day where this event happens. I want to show you a picture of the ruins of a synagogue in Magdala, Israel. Some of you have been there with me to this site. It is an ancient bottom of a synagogue that they discovered in Israel that is from the time of Jesus. So we know, because Jesus spoke in the synagogues in that area, that Jesus spoke in this very space that you see right here. A synagogue is made up of, the entrance is right over here. The leader who is speaking in synagogue services, they would have prayers and scriptures, and then they'd have a speaker that would give a message. He would stand right up here in front. They would separate the men, and men would sit on one side, women on the other side. They would not to be together. They were to be separated. You can see a row of benches here around, and then a row up here too. There's like two rows of benches. That's what an ancient synagogue looked like in that day. Of course, they had walls. The walls aren't there. But that gives you an idea of what it looked like. The story we just read in the scripture happened in a synagogue just like this. Or maybe the synagogue. We don't know where it happened. It just happened in one of the synagogues. So maybe that'll help you picture this scene as we go through it, that it happened in a space like this, where this woman was healed by Jesus. We see the story of a life of a bondage for a crippled woman in this story. The people gathered for worship like they did every Sabbath, and part of this crowd was a woman who had been crippled for 18 years. She was bent over, crippled for 18 years, could not straighten up. It's fascinating to me that this woman, after 18 years, has not stopped going to synagogue worship services. Isn't that kind of fascinating? She could very easily stay home and say, "You know, I have this handicap, I'm not going to go." But no, even though it was difficult, and she probably experienced some things that were not pleasant, she went. She was faithfully there. If she had not been there, she would not experience this healing that Jesus had for her on this day. She was obviously crippled physically. I think it's fascinating that Luke, who is a medical doctor who wrote this gospel, is the only gospel writer that includes this story. Isn't that interesting? He's a medical doctor. And he's so amazed at what happened to this woman that he said, "I'm going to put that in my gospel. No matter what you other guys do, I'm putting it in my gospel." That story has to be heard. She was crippled physically. For 18 years, she couldn't stand up. She was bent over when she walked. Many people think her medical condition was what we call today ankylosing spondylitis. I'm sure I didn't pronounce that right. which is an inflammatory arthritis that affects the spine and the large joints, causing a person to be hunched over. It's still present today, and interestingly enough, modern science has no cure for it. They don't have any way to cure it if it happens. This woman is crippled by this disease, and they say that people who have that disease live in constant pain. So not only is she crippled, she can't stand up straight, she's living in constant pain. But she's still at church. She's still coming to worship. She was also crippled. There's a picture of what you can imagine what it looked like. She's bent over, all the way over. She can't look up, can't look anybody in the eye when she's standing. And so you can imagine how uncomfortable and how inconvenient that whole thing was. She was also crippled emotionally, I'm going to suggest. Women in that day were not looked up to in that society, especially if you are a woman that was crippled in that way. The Jewish thought was, if you're crippled in that way, you must have done something wrong. So I just imagine that she did not get a lot of warm welcomes when she came to the worship service. She might have even been ignored. She might have heard comments like, I wonder why she's here. Hope she doesn't sit by me. Why does she come? I imagine she was probably had some emotional trauma from this whole situation, yet she came. She was there. She was also crippled spiritually. This woman, it says, Luke says in the gospel here, was crippled by a spirit. Later, Jesus will say she'd been bound by Satan for 18 years. So the clear implication is that her physical problem was related to a spiritual problem. It does not appear that she was demon-possessed, because whenever someone was demon-possessed and Jesus encountered them, he spoke to the demons and he drove them out. He does not do that in this scene. But in some way, there is demonic influence in her life that has affected her in some way. We don't understand why or how that's caused this disease that she has. Now, we must make a note, not all physical illnesses have spiritual roots to them, causes. But they can. They can sometimes. In this case, there is a connection. And that day, she's sitting there in the synagogue service over where the ladies sit, probably in the back, and she's hearing Jesus teach. I wonder what was going through her mind. Can you imagine what was going through her mind? Maybe she'd heard the stories of Jesus healing people. Maybe she was hopeful that Jesus could heal her. I don't know. Maybe, and I don't know this for sure, maybe at this moment while she's looking to Jesus, she had faith. She believed that Jesus could heal her. It doesn't say that. We don't know. But she's there waiting, listening, and she's about to experience something amazing, the touch of freedom that comes from Jesus, a touch of freedom. When Jesus started his ministry, he was in another synagogue in Nazareth, and he quoted from the prophet Isaiah these words, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he's anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." That's good news, right? Jesus came to set us free. Jesus saw this woman and understood her need. She was probably used to people ignoring her, not paying any attention to her. But Jesus saw her. The original words in the Greek there for saw does not mean a casual glance. It means a fixed focus on her. He was staring at her. He made eye contact and he was looking at her. And because he is Jesus, not only was he looking at her, he knew her. He understood her. He knew all about her. He knew about all of her problems, all that she's been through. He knew her history. He knew why she was there. He knew about the disease. He knew about the demon that was causing the disease. He knew about everything. He completely understood her and what her need. And he was filled with compassion for this woman. Many people just ignored her or put her off. Jesus had compassion on her. And I think that's a great story for us to remember today, because Jesus sees us today. And he understands us. He sees every one of you. He understands you perfectly. He knows what you're going through. He knows everything about you. He knows your past. He knows what's going on right now. He knows your future. He knows everything about you. And he loves you incredibly, just like he did this woman in the story. Jesus then invited her to come to him. He called her forward. Now, she didn't ask for Jesus. You know, sometimes people show up that need Jesus and they yell out, "Help me, help me, help me." You know, she didn't do that. She's just sitting in the back, listening to him, and Jesus called for her to come forward. Jesus took the initiative. There would be a lot of people in that service. I don't know how many, but there would be a bunch. But he saw that woman that had the need, and he called her forward. Now, it's not going to be easy for her to get up and get up there. Remember, she's bent over. It's going to be very inconvenient. It's going to be kind of embarrassing to be out in front of the whole crowd. You're calling me out in front of everybody. You want me to walk up? I kind of have a hunch that maybe she had showed up at synagogue service a little late and tried to just slip in and become unnoticed. And now she's going to become the center of attention. Come up here. Come up front. Jesus calls her to come forward. And she didn't have to, but she did. Jesus in Matthew 11:28 says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." And again, this is a picture for all of us. Jesus invites all of us to come to him. He sees us. He understands us. He knows what our need is. He invites us to come. But we have to choose to come. We have to choose to come to him to find the freedom that he will give us. We come crippled as we are. Don't have to straighten everything out before you come to Jesus. Come as you are. She came as she was. Jesus then spoke words of freedom. I love this. As soon as she was up there in front of everybody, he said, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Isn't that fascinating? He said it like it was a fact, because it was a fact. You're set free. You're set free from this disease. It's interesting. Again, in the original language that the Bible was written in Greek, the words "you are" in the Greek perfect tense, which means it's permanent. It's permanent. You are permanently set free. You'll never be hunched over again. You're set free from this. Amazing words of freedom. The scripture says, "If the Son set you free, you will be free." Indeed, there is amazing power in the name of Jesus. Amazing power that Jesus has. And the next thing he did is he touched her with healing power. It says he put his hands on her. Now, if you study the way Jesus healed people, he healed people in so many different ways. But oftentimes he would touch. He healed a leper when he touched him and proclaimed him clean. He healed a blind man with his touch. He healed a man in the garden that Peter cut the guy's ear off. And Jesus touched him and healed his ear and put it back on. Oftentimes he healed with his touch. In this synagogue, to many, they would believe it would be improper to touch a woman. You sit on opposite sides. You don't touch a woman in the synagogue service. But Jesus did. It says her sickness was caused by a demon. Well, you don't touch someone that has a demon, but Jesus did. Also, the synagogue ruler believed you're not supposed to do that during the Sabbath, but Jesus did. He touched her with his healing power. I would love to hear this woman's testimony. Wouldn't you love just to kind of time travel her back here and boom, she's here and could tell her story? She'd heard the words of Jesus. She'd heard Jesus' words that you've set free, and she was up front next to him, and then she felt the touch of Jesus on her back. Some people who have been healed physically say that sometimes it feels like a warm, radiating warmth that goes through your body. Maybe she felt that. And her back was instantly healed. And for the first time in 18 years, she stood up straight immediately and could see people eye to eye. And guess who the first person she saw? Jesus. He's right there. She would leave this synagogue a new person, healed physically, emotionally, spiritually, to live a life of freedom. She was set free by Jesus. Jesus said that Satan has had her bound up for 18 years, and Jesus set her free. Medical science couldn't help her, but Jesus could. He set her free. Satan couldn't stop Jesus. When he wants to set somebody free, he will. And the devil cannot stop that from happening. Jesus came to bring us freedom. And there's a lot of different bondage other than physical bondage. There are all kinds of things that Satan can use to bind us up and to rob us from life. But Jesus can set us free. Jesus can set us free. She was healed physically, we know that. Instantly, miraculously, by the touch of Jesus and the word of Jesus, she stood up for the first time in 18 years straight. Wow. Wouldn't you love to have seen that? The disease that medical science had no cure for and still has no cure for today, Jesus cured with a touch and his word. She experienced the Lord who heals. Exodus 15:26, the Lord told the people of Israel, I am the Lord who heals you. She experienced that amazing healing physically. We know and believe that God can still heal physically. We know that. We must submit to his will in this matter. We know he doesn't heal every time we ask for it. And you know the way we know that? Because there's nobody on the planet that's 400 years old. You know, he doesn't heal every time because we all die. Unless Jesus comes back and takes us soon, we'll all die someday. So any healing is temporary. But Jesus can heal. He can heal. He still has the power to heal. She was also healed emotionally. Do you understand? By bringing her up into the front of the synagogue on that day and healing her in front of everybody, he could have done this outside afterwards. He could have done it privately. He could have come searched her out. He could have found her. But he did it publicly. He's restoring her to the community. She's no longer going to be considered an outcast. She's going to be restored emotionally, going to be healed from all the things she's gone through. Instead of people trying to say, you know, I don't want anything to do with that woman that's bent over, they're going to want to know this woman who was healed by Jesus. There's an emotional healing that takes place. She would be a follower of Jesus and known for that, not known that she was a woman that had the bent over back. She was also healed spiritually. Since her disease was caused by a demonic spirit, Jesus was able to free her from that, which tells us she was healed in every way. You see, the most important healing that Jesus does is spiritually, and that is being forgiven of our sins. Forgiveness of our sins is the most important healing, right? Any spiritual healing that we have is temporary, but spiritual healing is forever, eternal. Jesus, whenever he healed someone physically, his hope was that they would also be healed spiritually and believe in him and be forgiven of their sins. That's why Jesus came. Primary reason he came was not to heal people. He did that, but he came to forgive people of their sins. That's the most best, the most perfect healing we can get is that spiritual healing. We're forgiven of our sins. And the next thing the lady did, she gave praise to God, which is the logical thing to do. She understood what happened to her was just a miracle. Only God could do that, so she praised God. And I think the worship service really kicked into full gear right then at the synagogue. Man, praising God for what had happened on that day. But there was another person in bondage on that day in the synagogue besides the woman. The synagogue ruler, the man that was in charge of the synagogue services, synagogue ruler, he was there and he was upset. The life of bondage for this religious leader. He wasn't happy that Jesus healed on the Sabbath. Jesus had a habit of doing that, by the way. 7 times in the Gospels he healed on Sabbath, and every day he made the people mad, the religious leaders mad. He didn't care. He would break their traditions to heal people. So this man, it's interesting, he didn't have the courage to confront Jesus. He just talked to the crowd and said, you guys have 6 days in which to come and be healed. This is the Sabbath day. Basically saying, don't come on this day. It's really kind of hilarious when you think about it, because if they come the other 6 days, what's he going to do for them? He can't do anything. He can't bring any healing to them. Only Jesus can heal. It's kind of funny. This man was crippled by human tradition. He was so caught up in human tradition and rules that he missed the work of God. So bound up in his traditions of his people, these are human traditions, not God-given traditions, human traditions, that he missed the work of God. He was held captive by the traditions he'd placed around himself. In a way, he had barricaded himself off by these traditions from the presence of the living God. You could say he stopped worshiping God and started worshiping tradition. He was more bound up than the woman. Bound up by tradition, so much so that he ended up opposing the things of God, the Son of God. And I think that's a lesson for us to make sure, you know, us that are followers of Jesus, you know, we have traditions, and some of them are good traditions, but they're traditions, okay? Don't let your tradition stop you from believing that God could do something that may be different from your tradition, right? God is very creative in the way he works. We don't serve human tradition. We serve the Lord God and let him do what he will do. This man was also crippled by selfishness. Jesus confronted the man and the other leaders and said, you'll take care of your thirsty livestock on the Sabbath, but you don't care about this woman. You care about your own things, your livestock, but you don't care about her. It's their selfishness. You treat your animals better than you treat this woman. He had no heart for the crippled woman's situation, no eye for the beauty of Christ's compassion, no soul to rejoice in the woman's deliverance, no ear to hear the music of her praise. Because of his attachment to human tradition and selfishness, he missed a great miracle right before his eyes. He was crippled by hypocrisy. Jesus, there must have been other religious leaders there, and he called them all hypocrites, which means you're actors, you're pretenders, you're not real, you're not really religious people. You don't know God. Matthew 15, Jesus said, you hypocrites. Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men. Hypocrisy. Well, at the end of this remarkable Sabbath service, Jesus gave two short stories to illustrate the growth of the kingdom of God and the rule of Christ. The first story was about mustard seed. He said, let's talk about a little mustard seed that is so small you wouldn't even hardly see it if I had one in my hand. But a farmer plants it, it begins gets to be like a tree that's so big that birds can sit in it. And it's a message about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is growing around the world. It started small and insignificant with just a few people in Israel, a little country named Israel, 2,000 years ago. And you know the story. There's like 2 billion followers of Jesus today on this planet. It's huge, growing amazingly, the kingdom of God. Jesus told his disciples to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that has happened, and it's continuing to happen, and it will continue to happen. This pandemic that the world has been going through has not stopped the work of Jesus in our world. He's still building his church. The second story he told was a story about the power of yeast working away in the large amount of dough, and it works its way all the way through the dough, the yeast does. And that just reminds us that the kingdom of God is working powerfully. Yeast is seen as silent and unseen, but it is at work. And the kingdom of God often is at work in our world unseen and silently. You don't hear about it on the news, right? You don't read about it. But it's happening. The devil cannot stop it. The kingdom of God is working powerfully. It was prophesied in Daniel 2. The God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed. So I think we need to remember, church, during these days, because of all that's happened in our country lately, we're really tempted to be worried, to be fearful. But we must remember we are part of the eternal kingdom of God that can never be destroyed. Our King, the Lord Jesus, can never be voted out of office. His throne room can never be stormed by protesters. He is firmly in control of this world. We don't know why he allows certain things to happen that we don't understand. But we can trust him. We know that he is the eternal God. There are people who say these days, must be the end of the world. Well, let me just let you know, there's only one person that knows when that's going to be, and that's God Almighty. He's the only one. There are other people around that are trying to predict everything that's going to happen in the next little bit. And I would just warn you, there's only one person that knows what's going to happen in the next little bit, and that's the Lord God Almighty. So don't put your trust in people who want to predict everything. Put your trust in the Lord. He alone knows. He is not in heaven wringing his hands about what to do about everything. He is the Lord God Almighty. Ultimately, history is in his hands. We need to trust him. You know, fear is going around right now. We can't give in to that. We can't give in to that. And you know how you fight fear? Faith. The more your faith increases in God, the more your fear will decrease. Trust him. This is not a time for Christians to panic or worry or be fearful. We need to trust God like we've never trusted him before. Many people I hear him say these days, you know, I wish things would just get back to the way they were. Well, we're called to minister in a world the way it is. So we can't retreat. We can't hide and say, okay, I'm just going to, you know, go live in a hole someplace. And we need to still be fully engaged in our world. In the world, not part of the world. We need to take the light of Jesus into a dark world. We're here for a time like this. We might not enjoy the time it is, but we're here for this time to serve Jesus faithfully. Not to panic, not to run away, but to go forward in the name of Jesus Christ. God is still at work in our world. That's the word I want to share with you. He is still working in our world. Nothing or no one can stop the Lord Almighty. Amen? The kingdom of God demands a response. The people in the story, there's two reactions in this story. Either they were delighted or they were humiliated. The woman was delighted that she was healed. The people who saw it were delighted, but the synagogue ruler was humiliated because Jesus convicted him with the truth, called him a hypocrite, called him selfish, called him out, and he was humiliated. We all have to make a decision about what we're going to do with Jesus. And we're either going to be delighted or humiliated. Those are the two choices. The prophet Elijah, when he was having a battle, a contest on top of Mount Carmel between the prophets of Baal and God, he went before the people and said, how long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. If Baal is God, follow him. Follow him. We must make a choice of what we'll do with Jesus. So here's my closing questions to you today before we gather for prayer. Is there any way in your life that you need to be set free? Jesus can set you free. I believe that with all my heart. Jesus can set you free. There are people possibly in our audience today that didn't shuffle in, bent over like the woman in the story, but you're just as much of a cripple and just as much in bondage as she is because of some things that are involved in your life. But Jesus invites you, just like he invited her, to come to him. He loves you. He can set you free. It could be that you have a habit that you can't conquer. That's fairly prevalent. Jesus can set you free. Could be there's a sin that has a hold on you. Jesus can set you free. Could be there's a problem with your spirit, bitterness, anger, jealousy, envy. You know, those things can get in there and get a foothold in your life. Jesus can set you free. Maybe you have a problem with anxiety and fear, and there's a lot of that going around right now. Trust him. Jesus can set you free. Maybe you have a physical problem like the woman. Your story is different, but it's a physical problem. You can come and we'll pray with you this morning. Pastors will anoint you and pray for healing if you want prayed for healing. So as we invite people to come forward to pray this morning, that's one of your things you can come forward to. And if you want prayer for healing, just look up and make eye contact with the pastor and stay here until we get around to pray for, with all of you, and we'll pray for that and trust God. Whatever it is, believe that Jesus can set you free. He doesn't want us to live a life of bondage. And I want to remind you, the most important healing is the physical, the spiritual healing, the forgiveness of our sins. That's the most important way that he heals. I would just challenge you today. Jesus is looking at you. Just like he saw the woman in that synagogue, he sees you right now. He understands you. He knows what you need. And invites you to come to him. Worship team, will you come and lead us in a song of worship? If you need to come and pray about anything today, come as we sing this song. And we'll be glad to pray with you if you need someone to pray with you. Stand with us together. Let's worship our Lord and